Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Down in Front. Our movie this week is Zombieland. Go ahead and pop in your DVD or Blu-ray. Press play, press pause when the Columbia logo fades to black after about 45 years of having not faded to black. The first screen is capable of all black. Press pause, and the second I'll say 3, 2, 1 on pause, at which point I'll press play, you'll press play, and we'll watch the movie together in perfect sync. It'll be like any other commentary, except, of course, with four friends in your head. And this week, myself as always, Teague Christie, Diff Newcomer Sax Carr,
yo,
Michael Dorkman Scott,
hello,
and Sheree the Amazing Stokes.
Hi.
All right, Zombieland is, prior to getting, kind of getting all the zombie movies out of the way when we were doing Dawn of the Dead last year, when I started just watching all the zombie movies so I had them all in my head, Zombieland was one of the only ones that I had seen prior to that. I didn't grow up on zombies. Zombies weren't a part of my childhood. So I came to them much later and was a little bit more cynical about them, a little bit more, this is kind of dumb. Why are we all sort of being ironic and cool about zombies and robots and ninjas and pirates? None of those things felt very authentic to me, but it cracked me up. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed the cameo, which, by the way, spoilers, Bill Murray. I enjoyed the cameo, and it was like banter, the zombie movie, and that was fine with me. I look forward to kind of looking at it with a keener eye, because I have a feeling it doesn't actually work. I just don't know exactly why. I can't put my finger on it. It's enjoyable to watch. I like watching it when it is on, but I'm not entirely sure that it's all there. Sax, how do you feel about Zombieland?
It is, according to Wikipedia, the most successful zombie movie of recent years, which is great, but it's not a zombie movie to be a zombie purist. Although I'm sort of, I want to reject your concept that those of us who enjoy zombies and robots and ninjas and pirates were somehow brought up by them. Like,
no,
my
no,
parents
no.
were pirates and zombies and ninjas, and like, and so I'm
zombie
comfortable there.
Ninjas.
They weren't.
Nope.
I don't think you belong here.
My parents were reformed Orthodox robot ninjas, yeah. But we didn't really
robot ninja space pirates, though.
Yeah, we didn't really practice that much. Really.
We still celebrated Christmas.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to insult your parents.
Well, what I'm saying is that like zombies, like that particular horror genre has just been one that has gravitated towards a lot of people because it was for a long time the least represented after the Night of the Living Dead series
the newest.
Died out.
It was invented in the '60s.
Yeah,
it's a new genre.
But these are, of course, not zombies. These are people infected with some sort of horrible disease.
The movie is called, it's got zombie right in the title, man.
It does, but if they're not undead, they're not zombies. Them's the rules.
Aha, zombie picture. I see your subversion.
Yeah. Well, 28 Days Later and this movie in its way are also a way to keep the idea, the form of a zombie movie, but not have them shuffle around and be, it's like, okay, but they're really just crazy people, but you still get the zombie form you can kind of follow.
Right. Which is weird because there's that movie The Crazies that I don't think they really played as a zombie movie, but it's like the same thing.
It's as much a zombie movie as this is, certainly. Yeah.
How do you like the movie? Meh?
Meh? Meh? Meh. I mean, I enjoyed it. It's by far the most entertaining video game trailer I've ever watched. I mean, they even say that they deliberately designed it to appeal to the video game market, which is kind of like a huge slap in the face. That's like someone saying, like, I wrote this book to appeal to movie fans. It doesn't really work that way.
I've read a lot of those books, actually. I've read a lot of books where they're like, oh, I took the screenplay and then just made it a book so people would buy it and make a movie.
Dorkman?
Right.
What's your experience with Zombieland?
Okay.
Embarrass your face.
Yeah. My experience with Zombieland is I kept meaning to watch it, but like we did that slew of zombie related things and I had a slew. We did like two, but around the same time
I listened
time,
to an iTunes U podcast.
Yes, exactly,
okay.
Exactly.
That's a half slew.
I point out that how's the analogy go? Like one is a loan, two is a slew, yeah. Three is unnecessary. Yeah. I don't know
when buttload kicks in.
Yeah,
it's much later.
We had done that, and around those, it was not really us. It was me. I watched a bunch of zombie movies around that time because I was just like in the mood. And then suddenly I wasn't in the mood anymore. I was like, you know what? I'm full. I need some time to digest. I'm all full up on zombie. And I tried to go into Zombieland, and it seemed like a lot of – because I'd read the Zombieland script, and I really liked it. I had some problems with the structure, but I wanted to check it out. And which now knowing that it was originally a TV pilot actually makes a lot of sense why the structure was the way it was because there wasn't really kind of an ending. So
title
much.
Makes more sense too.
Yeah. I had just kind of put it off. I was like, it's there and I'm totally going to watch it and it's on Netflix streaming so I don't have to really worry about it and yada yada. And then we decided to do it this week and I'm like, oh shit, I got to see it, which I just didn't manage to. So I've seen 2/3 of the actual movie now and read the Wikipedia plot.
Yeah.
To see what happens in the rest of it. And it actually seems like it has they managed to make it fit in more of a contained structure than the script that I read. There's actually like a climax and an ending because in the script that I read, it was just they went into like a 7-Eleven or something because that's where the Twinkies were, by God, and that was the big climax, was fending off the zombies. Well, his name was Albuquerque, but in here it's whatever it is,
Tallahassee.
Yeah, Tallahassee.
Got his
Twinkies, but it sounds like there's a more epic kind of ending going on.
But not one that works. I think the 7-Eleven would have been a better ending.
Well, the product placement could have paid for the movie. But,
right.
My question:
there's a lot of Hostess product placement. I'll tell you that.
When this is over, do you feel like it would have been a good TV show? Because I feel like that while they wrote it as a TV show, it could never have stood up for more than like two episodes.
I'll see. Well, I wouldn't have thought Prison Break could have been a fucking four. I'm like, they get out and the end, right? I guess you were right.
yeah, no.
They made it to one season and then
it's
the
just
second
a prison
season.
And another prison, and it's fucking prisons all the way down. Right. It's amazing. Trey, how are you on Zombieland?
You know, it was one of those things I heard about, and I mean, it did well, didn't it? Did okay when it came out. It wasn't huge, but
it did okay.
I mean, it came out kind of in a slow period, and was, you know, it's one of the, well, it's what's playing, you know, the kids got to go see something. And I thought, okay, well, you know, yeah, sure, I'll check it out. So it came out in a video, and when I finally saw it, it was like, really? Okay. It just felt to me like a pale attempt to do an American Shaun of the Dead. You know, it's like, we'll just replace the British archetypes with American archetypes. We've got the hick dude and the twitchy kid and the gothy girl. And see what we did there?
So unlike a British film, this will be a road movie, because Americans
love
road movies.
Because you can't go very far on a road in England, and this will be a road movie.
This is certainly more, I think, a good deal more self-aware than Shaun of the Dead is. Because Shaun of the Dead is self-aware. They're like, oh, there's zombies. Don't say the Z word, you know, or the Z word. And all of that. But it's like, it's still a zombie movie, just kind of following the wrong characters in that sense, as I always put it. But this is more like the Scream of zombie movies. This
Fair
is
enough.
The one that's really self-aware. It has the rules.
But the rules that it dictates are essentially its own rules, because they have fast zombies.
Right,
they're
right.
not, you know, like the whole toilet, the bathroom rule is just sort of tacked on.
It's got a very lame opening sequence. But my take on it was kind of like, all right, well, I don't like anyone. It's kind of the zombie Scott Pilgrim movie, really. It's like, I don't like any of these people, and I don't really care what's happening to them. And the movie, actually, the as I recall, because I only saw it once, and it'll be the second time I ever saw it, but doesn't it have, like, panic room credit things happening where, like, animated logos?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, what movie did that belong in? Because it doesn't belong in this one. It's like
video games. It's a video game.
It belongs in the video
game.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that you look at and.
I think the opening titles are great.
Yeah, but that's fine. It important to panic room, too, because then we put that shit aside and we start making a movie. But the whole thing, like, there was the one where it's on a car and then it falls off the car and it's like, okay, we get it. You know, and it's one of those things where it's. I immediately go to, wow, somebody worked really hard to do that completely meaningless effect that just happened that has nothing to do with what
I
this movie is.
I guess it's subjective. I thought, like, right at the beginning, it's like he's getting chased by the zombies, and it's like, rule one, cardio, and one of the zombies just plows through the O in cardio and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, I don't know. That
they don't bother me.
I immediately got annoyed by, okay, you're awfully cute. Movie.
It is an affectation.
You are so cute, pat on the head.
You know, I'm kind of with you. It is the commercial involving a girl with big breasts and a kitten. It's sort of like, yes, we're all going to buy your product. Sure.
And then, you know, it just kind of goes on and on.
You will be smart and sexy if you drink this beer. Yeah. Or at least you'll think you are.
It goes on and on. Everyone was like, oh, the cameo. The cameo is amusing as hell, adds nothing to the movie other than 20 minutes. Has no plot requirement whatsoever. It's the cannibal sequence from Pirates 2. It's the equivalent. It's like, look, a whole thing. Great. When are you going to get back to the story? It's worth it for the line Garfield.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's really kind of meaningless and useless. And then the ending is just sort of like, and they're in an amusement park, and he's going to shoot, and they're on a thing. And why is everything still working? And why isn't everyone just getting eaten because the zombies are freaking everywhere and they can't possibly defend themselves? And the ending is just kind of a shapeless mess. So I just didn't float my boat is my answer.
Well, okay, so.
But I'll watch it again. Maybe I'll find something I like.
You're at the point where the Columbia loaded faded to black, like I am here. 3, 2, 1, unpause. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that now I've completely lost it. Well, it'll hopefully come.
Now, when you say the opening, you don't like the opening sequence, are you referring to the titles, Trey, or are you referring to this?
I don't even remember what this is, but I...
You said you remember that there was one of the worst opening something or others.
Well, that's Mystery Man I was referring to, but this whole running around the parking lot and the logos. I'm like, what the fuck is this? You know, it really was annoying. This is nice.
I was going to say, poor tracking, guys.
This works for me, but this is good. But then it turns into Jesse Eisenberg running in circles around a parking lot through animated logos
and inventing Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah.
Show some respect.
To be fair,
it will be interesting because zombie Eisenberg, Jesse Eisenberg, meant nothing to me at the time, and now to me he's Mark Zuckerberg. So it'll be interesting to see him in that.
I actually, watching through this, I was like, I feel like Michael Cera should have played Jesse Eisenberg's role here, and Eisenberg should have been in Scott Pilgrim. I think that would have. But to be fair, I like the character more in this one, maybe because I just like Jesse Eisenberg more.
I'm glad that he's breaking out as the serious Michael Cera.
Yeah.
I'm proud of my boy, to be honest with you.
I'm sad for the two of them that they're perpetually going to be linked together.
I don't necessarily understand the connection.
I wouldn't have made the connection, but people kept making it. I'm like, yeah, I could see him playing that role. But I feel like this is definitely like a Michael Cera type of role that he's playing, really neurotic and kind of perpetually embarrassed and stumbling over his own words and stuff like that.
He pulls it off in this, though.
Sure, sure. Yeah, this is a good rule, though. I'm always just shoot it, just empty the gun.
No, this was called Ziploc bags in a deleted scene. I haven't seen that scene, but apparently the double tap rule is renamed the Ziploc bag rule.
I assume that's actually, it's not that the rule is the same. I think it's keep your food and stuff in Ziploc bags because otherwise it'll get infected. That was rule number two, and then they changed it to... always shoot twice.
I don't know. I have a weird feeling that, like, the red-blue makes green Ziploc bag rule somehow has to do with...
Possibly. It could be. This is scary. Kid zombies are always...
Oh, yeah.
That's always effective. Especially this kind of shit.
That's
awesome.
Insane. That's a beautiful...
Warwick Davis in a cameo there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm totally down with that.
Which one of those is Hit Girl?
I love the one that rolled just then because it's like, that was probably a full-size person, but it happened so fast you can't even tell.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Some of this slow-mo, I like that it's kind of, that's rough.
I did one of those, by the way. I fell off my bike riding down a hill when I was a kid, and I landed on my chin and slid about 10 feet.
There was a huge credit when he did it, too.
Went right through a credit.
Oh, yeah, this is a great sequence with this.
I love Watchmen.
For Whom the Bell Tolls, yeah.
I mean, this is Watchmen. This is badass. It's cool. I like it. I like Super Slow. I like that they sort of knock the letters out of the way.
I want to give the credit. I don't know if the credit is deserved, but I want to give the credit and assume that he was...
To Barack Obama.
No, yeah. Because really, they take the credit for him for everything he does. But I want to credit the director and assume the best in the case that he was intentionally going, I'm making a zombie film. I'm going to satirize Zack Snyder a little bit and throw in this
egregious
slow motion here and
there. That's clever. I'll give you the credit for it.
So the question here is that if these people have just so recently become zombies that they're still maintaining their jobs, why are they already covered in blood?
I don't know what the wedding was going on in Zombieland.
When did the bride turn? That was, but it's a great image. Yeah. You can't deny it's a great
image. I mean, I see where they're going with it, but it definitely has like a weirdness
to it. This cracks me up. Okay. Yeah. The three-legged race tied to, somehow the guy you're tied to has become a zombie.
Yeah, and everyone else is zombies chasing you.
I think the idea is it is ridiculous. It is like, the idea of everyday life where suddenly, miraculously, instantly there are zombies.
The question is, and I don't know if this may become answered later because the only... from my recollection in the script, the only one that we see turn is the girl of 406.
407.
We don't see that. That's, he takes a nap and wakes up and she's a zombie. So we don't actually know how fast it is. It could be like, 28 days later that you're infected and it takes about 10 seconds and then you're a zombie. Or it could be the kind of thing where these people were infected and they're just like, I don't know, whatever. They went to work and then they got fucked up and started massacring people. But for the imagery, you're like, okay, I get what's going on here. It doesn't necessarily make sense, but I'll allow it.
P.S. I have irritable bowel syndrome, and you can medicate it for pretty much as long as you want, as long as you're willing to deal with the consequences when you're done. But as long as you have Pepto-Bismol, you're fine. It's when it runs out, you literally die. So you would not have this problem.
Then maybe you will shit your lungs out.
Yeah. Your whole central nervous system. Yeah. Okay, well then maybe you can address what was my first problem with this movie was, okay, so the world is full of zombies and this guy is like, I hear my rules and I have these, you know, clever rules about how, and yet I'm going to park my car at night under a streetlight mm-hmm. and go to a public restroom when the entire world is available to be your restroom in any form you need. So is irritable bowel syndrome so devastating that, well, that's what you would have to do?
There's definitely as
is my, there an urgency to it?
Yeah, as my friends at the Red Letter Media would say, there is a fecal urgency. But that said,
that being said, you could just, you know, social mores, I think, have you could just jump out of your car by the side of the road and get it taken care of.
Take a little deucer and then
yeah.
I like to call them highway shits.
When the alternative,
you don't
is
even
getting,
have to stop, really.
When the alternative is getting eaten, you know, I think you might, you know, make
well,
that
I
call.
Like
if you have a dowel rod, you can just lean out the window, have one hand on the wheel, and just be pushing on the accelerator.
Yeah, I feel like I would have stolen a camper at this point.
There you go.
Yeah, probably.
I would get a boat.
Yeah,
that's a good call. And then he wouldn't have to go anywhere to shit.
Right.
He wouldn't necessarily have to. He could stock up and drive for days.
Yeah.
He could put gasoline and food in the camper.
And then you just empty it out, you know. It's like,
right.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, that's why. You
just
know,
empty it out on someone's lawn just to be that guy. Yeah. Fuck it. Who's going to care?
On the lawn.
Take the hose into the living room just to
alien civilizations
around,
will come in the years way beyond, and they'll see these piles of shit and think, what happened here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, the dinosaurs lasted a lot longer than we would have assumed based on our paleontology.
Jeff Goldblum sort of anachronistically walks in and goes, that is one great big bottle shirt.
Yeah.
Am I the only person who feels like there's a willing suspension of disbelief problem where Jesse Eisenberg, being the guy who survives, doesn't play at this point until he meets Wichita or whatever the hell it is?
Doesn't what? What do you mean?
Oh, you
like being
you
like,
don't buy it.
You don't buy he's the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying.
Well,
that
he's the guy that has
Marine.
The rules. He's the OCD guy.
I like the idea that he's so neurotic. Like everyone else is like, dude, you're a spaz. But when it comes down to Zombieland, he's like, being a spaz is what saved my life everyone else.
It's almost like the autistic people would probably handle it best because you know that they if you could even push you could push this character even further where he's like Rain Man.
Yeah,
and Rain Man survives because he has no he doesn't
because
have any
he flies Qantas.
He has no problem shooting humans in the head. Because he never related to them anyway. So I was like, yeah, okay, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, totally kill him. Totally double tap. Yeah.
Now, I don't understand.
That would have been fun if he had been more like
Rain Man in the apocalypse, or the zombie apocalypse.
Maybe that was the original script.
Hold on. We got a pitch.
I don't understand why Tallahassee always paints a number on his car.
It's a Dale Earnhardt thing. It's NASCAR.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's what
that
I looked it up on IMDb because I wouldn't have known.
Because I heard someone told me, oh, that's how they know that whoever's driving it isn't a zombie because they knew how to write a letter. They knew how to drive.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my first thing. I mean, he's
think horses, not zebras.
Yeah. He's hiding and stuff. I was like, no. The fact that he was driving fairly non-erratically. I mean, erratic for don't give a shit, not erratic for don't know how to drive.
Yeah.
I'd be like, that's clearly a person in that vehicle.
So
I also don't understand why they'd have. Why this would happen? Why there would be contention among survivors?
That is the thing that I had to kind of question.
In 5 minutes, Emma Stone's going to fleece them for all their gear, so maybe there should be contention among
survivors. It's a feature of many zombie movies that you know, it's certainly a theme in a lot of zombie movies that the reason we lose is because we can't get our shit together.
Right.
Is we can't put aside, like, wow, you know, we actually have more in common with each other than we do with the enemy. Maybe we should stick together. Many, many zombie movies thematically say, no, when the chips are down, we're going to turn against each other and lose.
So. They'll eat each other.
When the chips are down, our problem is that we will turn on each other and the zombies won't.
We're us. Yeah. They're us and we're
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
I will point out here that hat is made of recycled tires or something and cost lots of money and was part of Woody Harrelson's like 5 concessions to do the movie.
Yeah. It's made of, as I recall,
Woody Harrelson designed his own wardrobe.
No, it's made of like a recycled cargo truck canvas and baling wire or something, but it's very eco-friendly, that hat.
Aww.
My question is, who cares about Woody Harrelson at the time this movie was made? Like, Jesse Eisenberg...
He was as much a thing as Jesse Eisenberg, I feel
I think Jesse Eisenberg was an emerging name, and Woody Harrelson hadn't done
it. Was an aging character actor.
Yeah.
Well, but
Woody Harrelson
didn't need to.
Popularity.
But the director went vegan for 11 months to appease Woody Harrelson to do this film.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Woody Harrelson had 5 concessions, and one of them was...
You know Woody Harrelson's going to bring it when he comes. He's he's a yeah. method motherfucking actor.
Yeah.
The entire production was done green, and the director became vegan, and there was two more cast and crew concessions, and then the hat. And all to get this guy, where Jesse Eisenberg and Emma Stone, to my chagrin, were the ones who brought in the people. No one was like, you know what I remember? Cheers. Anyone who liked this movie wasn't alive or like watching TV when Cheers was on.
I've been watching Cheers.
He's also been nominated for Oscars for being in movies. He's became a movie star after that. Unlike, he's not Shelley Long.
Yeah.
In terms of leaving Cheers and not being
a movie star. Oh,
fucking
Shelley Long. I want to see a movie with zombies and George Wendt.
Norm! No. I think we saw him earlier. He's the fat guy that got run down.
Sometimes you are.
Everybody wants your brain.
You can't ever accuse Woody Harrelson of not being fun to watch, though.
Yeah.
He always does play the shit out of a thing.
He's good.
Oh, he's good in this movie, and he's kind of perfect casting. He's the reason this works, but I just feel like...
But he is kind of insane.
They bent over backwards to do it.
That's it's a little slapstick for me, but it's funny.
It's interesting.
I just like his weird body shapes.
Yeah, it's like, where did he learn this routine exactly?
Probably. I'm going to go with DVDs in his bedroom by himself.
Or watching cheerleaders through like a blind.
Yeah, that's true. Like color guard troops have like rifles. They have rifle routines. Yeah. So I guess
this kind of looks like what he's doing. He's kind of doing this bizarro.
Now,
color
see,
guard
here's
thing.
The thing. Unless someone rode regularly in the back of the hostess truck, does it make any sense there would be a zombie in the hostess truck? Because you would have to have gone in there, become a zombie, and then become trapped
yeah,
and die.
Yeah, no, but fuck it. Who knows? Never assume.
I guess. And also, these zombies can clearly operate doors. And again, they're alive, and they have relatively cognizant.
Ellie, the door locks.
Why? You can't keep a raptor in a closet. It's too smart.
By the way, I'm totally with Tallahassee on this one. Coconut, I don't hate the taste, but I hate the consistency. I'm completely on board with him when he says
coconut
that.
Ice cream is awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, coconut things,
but the pencil shavings.
Ruin snowballs for anyone that still likes them. What it reminds me of is when you have like a flaphouse gun on your lip and you're chewing it off. That consistency. It's the sort of wet, crunchy. That's. Anyway,
okay.
How do we get on to? Oh,
you're
fucking
actually
hostess.
Talking about self cannibalism, and what we're talking about.
Well, no, it's like when you have some on your lip, and you're just kind of like trying to pull it off. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's creeping me out.
Yeah, they're Hicks, Rita.
it's also interesting because being so neurotic, like. I had a thing for a while where I couldn't go in public restrooms. I was like, no, I'll wait till I get home. And so I'm surprised that he's got like a thing where he has to like, he's neurotic, but he's like, yeah, I'll just go in a public restroom. I won't go on, like you said, the side of the road or break into a house.
All those restrooms have door locks.
How is it that restroom was the cleanest place we've been in this entire movie thus far?
Yeah.
And does the water system still work?
In this universe, there are bathrooms as yet untouched by David Fincher.
Can we have like a cha-ching sign where he says, "And Code Red Mountain Dew." Cha-ching.
Well, we get Hostess, we get Code Red. Yeah. I'm sure we'll have at least another one. But he does manage to find the opportunity to say it to the girl as well to make sure that it is said.
What
a
is
couple
said?
Times.
Code Red?
Code Red Mountain Dew.
Is that really now? Was there a
that was
there
thing.
A product placement thing going on?
Yeah,
or clearly. is it?
Well, you never know.
You don't know. They might have just thrown it in because it's very.
It's a weird thing. Sometimes you need to get clearance to mention a product, and sometimes
they pay you.
Yeah.
No, I think that they would that nowadays the studios are so greedy that they will not mention a product for free.
Right. Right.
Literally, if the entire plot hinged on you finding a Snickers, they would have changed it to something else.
We just saw Thor, and there's a good amount of product placement in it, but a lot of it's fairly sly, and a lot of it is like it's half covered. So I'm like, oh, they didn't want to pay full price, so it's there, but you can't quite
like
see the whole
thing. When
she
puts the box of cereal into the cupboard, and you're like, uh huh.
Yeah, half of it is it's like Trader Joe's Honey O's, but you can only see Trader Joe Honey O. It's like
on that subject of sort of half seeing the logo. The thing that's been bugging me a lot lately, which is this is nothing about the movie, is now Diet Coke and Coke. Their thing is, we'll show you like 1/5 of the logo, but you know what's up.
Yeah, you know.
And
what
you just you want to say, okay, Coke. How about fuck you?
Just wait till the inevitability where they don't even show you Coke and they consider it product placement in all movies.
When there's red, we own red. And then George Lucas is like,
well,
well,
as long
I
as
own
they
blue.
Pay for it. As long as they pay for it, fine.
It's actually according to the. I went to a talk at the Screen Actors Guild where they were talking about product placement and showing things, and they said, really. as we say about everything, about, you know, we've all made Star Wars movies, and why haven't we been sued? It's because George didn't want to. Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing that stops anyone from being sued for anything is, you know, hey,
they don't want
Sax, we just met, but you killed my grandmother, and I'm taking you to court. Well, I can do that.
Right.
I can totally do that. And you have to get a lawyer, and you have to defend yourself. It's going to cost you thousands of dollars, and that's going to last for years before we finally get to court, and you can prove that you never met my grandmother, and I've already destroyed you financially. So that's happens all the time.
April Fools.
Exactly. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you win the case. Anyone can be sued for anything at any time if someone wants to sue you. But as far as the risk of being sued, the actual legal precedent is if it's a common everyday thing that you would find in common everyday life being used in a common everyday way, you don't really need to worry too much about it. If you drink a can of Coke, it's not like you're going, I'm going to use this can of Coke to crush puppies with because it's full of poison. Then Coke can be upset. But if you're just sipping on a can of Coke, there's really nothing for Coke to get bugged about in terms of taking action against you.
So while they could sue you, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they really should. And meanwhile, you can kind of go, we would be happy to feature this can of Coke if you'd like to give us a truck full of Coke for the duration of the project, which is, you know.
But isn't it a thing that
she became a zombie while he was asleep and then waited until he woke up to do anything about it.
Yeah, that's a horror movie
thing. It's unfortunate because otherwise this is a fun scene. Yeah. I'll grant this. It's like, oh, Jesus.
What I think was but going back, just they mention it again, like she sips from it and she's like, what is this, Mountain Dew? And he's like, yeah, Code Red. Code Red, if you didn't know what it was, you would never identify it as Mountain Dew. It tastes nothing like it. I just want to put that out there. Anyway.
I remember Hanel being a big drinker of Code Red Mountain Dew.
Amber who? I forget who this is as 406.
Amber Who, yeah. That's
Amber Who, yeah. She's she's Vietnamese.
Doctor Who?
Daughter of Doctor Who.
Apparently the disease, like, makes sores open on your face or something.
No, that's not the zombie thing.
Yeah,
that's 407's secret shame.
That's just her.
That's what she looks like in the morning. That's just how it is when she wakes up.
Now, isn't it a thing, one more thing on product placement, isn't it a thing that, what's the building in Times Square? Is it the Flatiron Building?
The
triangle-shaped one, or it's something like that?
I'd like to point out that if anyone here would like to try and push their tongue through a plastic shower curtain...
Good luck.
You try, I'll wait.
Yeah.
isn't it a thing that for Spider-Man 2, they were decorating a matte painting of billboards that were in that area, and Coke was owns one of those billboards permanently.
It was the first Spider-Man, and actually we can correct this on the air now because we had said that you know the case went to court and they settled or whatever, but it was like thrown out of court actually because they were like, fuck you, it's a fantasy movie. So
yeah. But when you think of Times Square, you think of that neon Coke sign
because
it's always been there, and the complaint was they covered it, right? They got rid of it.
They didn't cover it. They put different stuff on it that the people who own the billboard permanently were like, hey, we didn't authorize that. You can't use our billboard
for
your
altering ads. That's altering the logo, and that's actionable.
That's altering a logo in a fictionalized context. Which
apparently that's why it got tossed out of court.
I wonder if the Fringe Red Universe billboards that are like owned by Coke are all the same in that universe.
Yeah, Coke is pretty good about that. In all universes, in perpetuity.
That's totally in their contracts, I'm sure.
It's Coke and the Church of Scientology.
In all universes throughout perpetuity, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to stick with perpetuity.
Perpetuity. Well, careful, that's too close to Pepsi, and we'll sue because we're Coke.
Run away!
Aren't you the perpetuity one?
Anyway, so they're forming an oddball relationship because one of them's neurotic and one of them's kind of a loose cannon Marine, and I don't know how they're going to get out of this one. Are they going to be able to overcome their differences? What do you think?
That was Amber Heard as 406, by the way.
Amber Heard, okay.
Yeah, that there's definitely not any kind of tension. You're like, no, I see where this is going, and I'm just along for the ride.
I like the movie for the banter and for the zombies.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, this is a movie, and I'll probably, you know, the chat room will probably go nuts that I'm
oh boy,
letting it, no, that I'm just kind of letting this one go because I'm like, no, I get this one. Like, you go in and it's all tropes, but it's very aware that it's all tropes and it's just doing its thing. You either go along for the ride or you don't. And from what I've seen, from the 2/3 that I've seen, I have enjoyed the ride so far.
I think you were right. I think this is like this is the zombie screen.
It is just sort of. But the thing is, well, what's the story here? And it's all about, you know, what's happening and what does anyone want? It's like it's a slower version of Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead. It's like, well, these are just people trying to outlive the zombies, and that's going to last for about 90 minutes, and then we'll roll credits. Is that cool with everybody?
Maybe part of it is that seems to be just a zombie thing. That's kind of how things work. There's often not a goal in zombie movies.
Yeah, that's how deep the humor goes, Trey.
Yeah.
No, but
it'd be cool if there was, but
you know. I'm not willing to forgive the whole sort of like zombies, like taking the zombie tropes that I'm so interested in and like turning them on their head. Like, I didn't enjoy Scream for that reason. Scream was very much sort of like, see what I've done? I've essentially commoditized what you've always enjoyed. Yay. And I feel the same thing about this. I don't mind this movie. I find it entertaining, but I'm not going to give it, a long leash simply because it's making fun of itself. And I also find that if it is so clear that 90% of humanity has been wiped out, I'm still having trouble with the willing suspension of disbelief, even for these two guys being the two that make it. Because now it's like you either had to be badass or neurotic. But there are a lot of badass neurotic people. Where are they?
Well, for that matter...
Where was Mark Zuckerberg?
And for that matter, this has obviously gone on for a while. And who are these two people in business suits? You know, it's like, did they miss... were they at a meeting for the past 4 weeks while civilization fell?
Right.
It's like, you know...
And then they ran out to the middle of nowhere in their suits.
And then they were driving. And
then do the zombies also just sort of like not rot so that they can just sort of be hanging out?
That was one of the things we talked about.
If they're not dead, then they're not going to rot. Yeah.
And also, why don't they eat attack each other? That was something I feel like we should have addressed.
That's always been the rule with zombies, for whatever reason.
There was just a zombie attack and another zombie just now, though, wasn't
there? No, that was a dead body.
That was
he was eating
a dead person.
There is a fine line, but it's a line.
You think this is like the that? Well, of course, that's the trope. It's you'd almost never. I don't think I've ever seen it in a movie, but of course, there has to be the point where the partially eaten person reanimates and gets up,
and the other
zombies
like,
go, sorry, dude, I'm totally totally was eating your arm.
Yeah, I'm done.
No.
But zombies.
You need that.
The other thing, too, is that zombies are zombies. Like, they're dead. So, like, a dead guy trying to eat live flesh is not going to eat another zombie. These are living things. So, another living thing is still within the parameters of a food source.
That's true.
Maybe nut up or shut up.
Maybe they
zombie
can,
logic, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Maybe they can smell the disease.
Yeah. Now, see, I think this should be the same. Like
is
we
that,
they should
Curly Burly Man quote there?
They should have decorated this like it was The Mist. You know,
I feel like that's a song lyric, though. So, yeah, it probably was.
Like 5 minutes ago, The Mist happened here.
Now, I don't necessarily understand why he's...
Brought to you by Red Vine.
That was Come Together.
He's throwing away his
smell your disease.
His weapons a lot. Like, he has a banjo, and he can clearly play it. So why is he so quick to bring it and then break it? Because it's his banjo.
Is that his banjo? I thought he just like picked it up.
Well, he knows. Maybe he did. But he also, in a second, he has a really badass weapon that he throws aside. Like, to keep it, dude.
Dude, at the amount of survivors per materials left, and by the way, the food is all okay after all this time on 4 weeks is rotting in these stores. But anyway, there's a lot of weapons he can just pick up. If you see, I don't need that. He can get a new one in a few minutes.
I always get the
That's his thinking, and Columbus's thing is like, that's crazy, because what if you can't, you know? Yeah.
But I always get this, he's kind of a thrill seeker, that he's kind of like, you know, because he's the guy about, you know, zombie kill of the week. It's like, you know, how about that one? I did him with the keyboard from a Mac Apple II, you know, or something it's like he's looking for creative new weapons all the time. Like, I'm going to kill this one with a banjo just to make the day go faster.
It is very much a video game feeling thing. There's a video game called Dead Rising.
Yes, I know that one. Anything is a weapon.
It's
supposed to be fun.
It's tremendous fun. It's very Dawn of the Dead-ish in that you're in a mall, but all the stores are basically open, and you can go in and you can pick up pretty much everything that a mall would sell and just beat the shit out of zombies with it. And you can pick up an electric guitar, and it'll make like chords when you hit them, and it's just awesome.
P.S. That game is awesome. it is really, really, really amazingly awesome. Also,
this is not smart.
That's the worst possible move to make.
Yeah, that's how you.
It's a crash bar. That's what it's for. Is to be able to run up and crash into it, and the door will open. You don't need to hold the crash bar door open.
That's how you allow a zombie in to completely screw your way out.
I was like, what's the thinking there?
Yeah, that's the that was a moment that I was like, no, that's not smart.
Emma Stone here, surprisingly well made up for a zombie survivor.
Yeah. Huh.
Sax, how do you feel about Emma Stone?
There's makeup everywhere,
not a
man.
Fan. Yeah.
If you can grab weapons anywhere you go, believe me, you can grab a fucking compact and put.
By the way, guys, I know you hadn't thought about this, but when we're in the zombie wasteland and you see me, I will be wearing makeup.
Because who's gonna judge me? The
not?
Zombies.
Yeah. You're gonna go full Eddie Izzard.
Although I will say, you know, in going with what you say, later on she looks in the mirror and she's like, oh, it's terrible. I'm like, no, shut up. You're completely made up, but it took you 4 hours to get like that. Stop it.
I have to say that Abigail Breslin has grown up nicely.
Yeah.
She's adorable in this, and she's actually probably my favorite actor in the movie. I mean, Woody Harrelson does his thing. But I kind of like, oh, she's good, you know, because Little Miss Sunshine, which is, of course, where we first like, oh, you know, because she was a little kid actor, did a really good job in that. But you never know with little kid actors what's going to happen as they get older.
Yeah. And will they remain precocious or just
or
shut
they
up?
Just start to look weird? Yeah. And, you know, I think she's good in this.
Sax, do you like or do you dislike Emma Stone in this movie?
Yes, actually.
Why?
Because, first off, I think that she's deliberately trying to act badly in this scene so that we can sort of, like, get a hint of the fact that it's a con.
You're giving her the benefit of the doubt there.
And I feel like, let's just say that if you act really well, acting badly is hard. Anyway, this is the whole experience is just sort of bullshitty. And this whole con, by the way, does not make a whole lot of sense. And then I just
don't think so. I think this moment is really smart. I think they're dragging it out a little longer than they need to.
Just a very long amount of time to get someone to hand you a gun.
Yeah. Right.
Going right to the point where he's about to blow her brains out. Yeah. It's a pretty risky con.
Yeah. I would have probably gone with the let me do it. Oh, okay. All right. So anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Not pulling out the whole extra saying goodbye thing and everything, because that's...
Yeah,
I assume that was just they were like, "Look, we rehearsed this whole thing. We might as well fucking do it."
Yeah, we thought we would take all this time to get here, but right. No, I think Emma Stone is one of the most like single note actresses in recorded history. Like, she's just she plays the same character in everything. In fact, she for all of you who enjoyed her in Easy A, you also enjoyed her in every subsequent movie she's ever been in.
Yeah, here also is.
I need to see Easy A. It's on streaming now. Yeah.
There's an argument here.
I'll see two-thirds of it before we do a commentary is what's going to happen. But
if I can talk about just the logic of story logic here, which is actually a quibble I have with The Walking Dead as well, which a lot of people like The Walking Dead, and I kind of like The Walking Dead, but there's a lot of issues I have with The Walking Dead, one of which is the same issue that's just illustrated here. 99% of the world is dead. There's lots of cars.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of cars. There are plenty of guns. There's plenty of everything. Millions of people are no longer consuming things.
Yeah, you don't have to fight over it. There's not a supply and demand issue.
Yeah, not fight over it, but wait for someone to find you in a grocery store and perform like an extremely long, dramatized con about
it. Yeah, it's one of the great, you know, there's many things I like about The Walking Dead, but when they say they're in the middle of Georgia and apparently the only guns are in a bag in Zombie Town Central. It's like, you're in freaking Georgia.
Yeah.
Turn
there's
over
guns.
A rock, there's a gun.
There's guns. Go west a little bit. Yeah. There's other states, and they have guns too in that area.
Yeah,
that's true.
I feel like Emma Stone is supposed to be lazy here. She's just like letting these two guys do their work for her. But then again, how long can that system work? As there's only four known survivors plus one cameo in the entire film.
Yeah,
and also I've never understood this thing that they never like. You never see this happen in the zombie film, like the actual apocalypse. Where how do all these cars get where they are?
Yeah. Right.
Like what? Does someone just overturn a car and a tank is just sitting there
alone?
Yeah,
there's a tank.
Do the tank crews just like get out to get a smoke and then get raided by zombies? Like how is that allowed to happen?
I will say that the opposite though is I like when it's well done. It's kind of 50% on these in this movie for me.
Hey, but I've seen car accidents on the street where I'm like, how did
that
happen?
How did that possibly happen? I actually kind of like it's one of the things. It's one of the tropes of many kinds of movie apocalypse movies in general, apocalypse movies where you come upon the scene where something clearly bad happened, but you don't see what happened. And sometimes that can be extremely eerie and horrifying and well done. They don't really nail it in this one in any specific way. But when you just sort of see like the aftermath of something god awful,
right? Sometimes where Reservoir really Dogs happened there for a minute,
yeah,
and like it all went horribly south.
Yeah, just like you know, Aliens. I thought did a good job of it. Mm-hmm. Where you're like, wow, this some and they talk, you know, they comment on it. They're like, some serious shit went down here. But this, I think it's one of the little tropes that I like when it's pulled off properly. My question about Emma Stone, though, is she did Easy A, obviously, after this. And we were looking at, you mentioned her, your not favorable rating of her before. Yeah, for example, there's 57,000 empty Hummers. Everyone is driving a Hummer now in post-apocalypse. But my question is, what has she been in for you to have formed an opinion of her since she hasn't really been in that
much? Yeah, I can't remember her in very much.
Well, I disliked her in Superbad, which is a movie I happened to see like 40 times because I was working in a theater at the moment. And then I disliked her in this, and I dislike her in Easy A. And my opinion is basically formed around the idea that, again, it's just the same snarky sort of like whatever. Yes, like she's just a little over it, but also kind of into it character that she always plays.
I think Zooey Deschanel is equally one note.
Yeah,
for
no,
the most
true.
Part, it's just, but fact, she but she's like the dazed one where she's like, "What is going on here?"
500 Days of Wait. Summer is literally I one of the most like agonizing experiences in my life.
It was like 500 days long for you.
Yeah,
literally.
it was
happening in real time.
Yeah, it's Zooey Deschanel like just sort of like snarking it up and like being sad at camera and having big eyes and apparently thinking that's a magic trick. it's
like Puss in Boots.
No, I'm not an Emma Stone fan. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think there's definitely some. There's not a lot of great actresses in the world. She's okay, but I just find the character she perpetually plays to be insultingly stupid, and she only plays that. Like, why did I want her to play like the popular kid who doesn't get
who knows that she's fucking pretty?
Yeah, who's aware of, or who isn't that like Hollywood off pretty sort of, you know, she's wearing glasses. Well, looking back at this now, it's like so obvious that this is not a dog, or he is the weirdest guy in recorded history.
No, well, that's they pull it off because it's so jarring compared to his character. They make a thing about him being a badass and stuff like that, and then he's totally like treating this dog like an old woman would and stuff like that. And then it comes back later; it's actually his son, and it's like, oh, I think that works really well. I think they managed to work that in because it's funny the first time and then it's like heartbreaking the second time, but it's the same thing.
Right. You know, another willing suspension disbelief problem I have with this is the Twinkies just aren't that good. I mean, like, and there's a whole lot of
Ernie Hudson laughs at you, sir.
Yeah.
That'll come back too.
By the Twinkie. Oh my God, motion tracking for no particular reason.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. It's a one click thing with Buju.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Well, so actually, with
so
Mocha
I keep
now.
Hearing.
Yeah.
So I keep hearing from people who are trying to sell me Buju.
I would have used Mocha on that one. Mocha is magic.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah. Fucking Mocha. How does
not,
it work?
I would have not put it in the movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's an even bigger time saver.
No, they got Mocha, and they're like, we can track everything.
Yeah.
This brings us to the present.
We're gonna track his face to his face.
And just take his face off, and then put it right back on. Yeah. But it's a digital face because we can do it. Now, we haven't really mentioned the director of this, Ruben Fleischer. Is
Fleischer, yeah.
And what is Ruben Fleischer's track record aside from this?
This?
A lot of birthday parties.
Yeah.
I'm
sure he's someone's favorite uncle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
Well, he does it. He handily directs this movie. I mean,
this is,
well,
yeah,
I mean,
this is good, especially for
well,
first.
Are we
first
doing
album?
A double feature? Because the other movie we're doing today is directed by a director who has not directed a movie since then, 12 years later, because the director of the other movie we're doing today is a commercial director predominantly, like many commercial directors do, got a shot at a feature, didn't go well, but continues to do quite well as a commercial director ever since.
For example,
is this,
Bulletproof Monk.
Yeah, is this the same scenario? Is this a director who has never been heard from before or since, or
it's
are they doing things?
Dorkman, oh. Wiki fast.
Music video director, it looks like.
Fleischer shocking.
Was, yeah, prior to directing feature films, Fleischer was a prolific director of television commercials and music videos, working for such brands as Cisco, Eurostar, ESPN, and Burger King. Hey, sponsorship plug. His upcoming film, 30 Minutes or Less, will open in theaters on August 12, 2000.
Oh, fuck. So, I forgot about that movie.
So he and Eisenberg have made a thing.
Yeah, apparently. About, yeah, a pulpy genre thing, to be honest. I'm not, it's early yet in the ad campaign for 30 Minutes or Less to know how I feel about it, but I have a hunch that I'm going to think it's wrong. Because that's based on a true thing that happened. That movie is a liberal retelling of something that occurred. Some people, like, I'm sorry. We'll do a 30 minutes or less commentary. What am I talking about?
Emma Stone was just like cowering behind a dirty bushes, and again is pristine in the scene. Sorry, I really hate that actress. All right, go ahead. You were saying
she probably smells like horse shit right now. Let's be fair.
It's a hay bale. It's not that big a deal. But again, it's like, boy, that was a really elaborate plot to, you know.
To steal the same people's car.
Yeah.
And boy,
the only people who are going to drive by in this world are those two guys. Again, just you have guns. Those guys just walked down the street and picked up another car. You could have done the same,
yeah, keep
girls.
Walking.
P.S.
Walking.
This guy wrote School of Rock.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
He's also in School of Rock, but he wrote it.
Oh, this fella here. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's true.
He looks like Toby on
the
Office.
He does kind of have that face. Well,
I know.
They could be brothers.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this until after I'd finished watching The Office up until that point, that most of the people that are on The Office are actually just writers on The Office.
Yeah.
Like Toby's a writer.
Many of them,
Mindy Kaling was a writer.
Yeah, that's so I think that's how a lot of them wound up on the show. They showed up to write, and they're like, "Who's going to play this role? You just sit there."
And it put them in a really weird position when during the writer's strike.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the office was in a really strange position during the writer's strike because half the cast were also the writers.
And there's another thing. If you want to have your mind blown thoroughly, and you're an American Office fan, Wikipedia/Google Creed, because Creed is a superhero. Creed was in, like, The Love and Spoonful or something. Like, he's been doing crazy, amazing shit his entire life, and then he plays this fucking weirdo character on The Office, and it endears him somewhat just knowing that he was like a hippie flower child guitarist in a band that you've heard of. But you didn't know that. Mind blown.
Well, except they do reference it occasionally on the show, and it's that for some he is playing that guy. You know, he is that guy. He's just working at this office for no reason that anyone is entirely sure of.
What's your job here? Qua. I don't know.
All right. So back to this thing, whatever it is.
Yeah. It's showing that all they know how to do is cons. They don't know how to do a proper job or anything.
Maybe they'll learn how to trust. Do you think they will?
Perhaps they'll learn an important lesson by the end of the movie.
Hey, at least it has character arcs. That's Dawn of the Dead didn't have character arcs.
Yeah, I guess it counts as a character arc that they're slutty con girls who decide to sleep with the other guys.
Oh shit, you're right.
Yeah, it's not like they're redeemed at the end.
But they're not getting anything from it.
Yeah, that's right. But they won't enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what they learned.
Yeah.
Sex can be about more than
enjoyment. Sometimes it's about the other person. And you just got to suck it up and deal.
See, I'd like to see that. Well, that's what Shaun of the Dead. Shaun of the Dead is actually, you know, the world has to end for Shaun to learn how to be a proper boyfriend, which is, I think, a hysterical thing. But again, it's kind of like, okay, this.
Why do you like Shaun of the Dead and not like this?
Because Shaun of the Dead is about the characters, and the characters are relatable, and it's there's a plot, and it's, you know, there's more of a little more of a plot than the let's just run away from the zombies. There's at least some steps they follow where you sort of understand we'll do this to try and survive the zombies. And I absolutely
agree with that. I think Shaun of the Dead is the superior movie from what I've seen.
Shaun of the Dead is
this,
the gold standard.
You know, this one is these are like cartoon characters, so they're fun to watch in that sense.
This is just a lot of zombie jokes kind of stuck together for about 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like Shaun of the Dead also was clever in a similar way, but won on every, like the montage of walking to the store twice, once with, once without zombies, is amazingly brilliant. It's a lot more brilliant than running through credits.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And those are the equatable things that we see in this film.
Exactly. And Shaun of the Dead played up much more the normal life disrupted by zombies theme, which is you know, not that every movie has to do that, but, you know, these people are traveling cross country, so they're just working, going
through
zombie.
We don't really see any of their normal lives, I suppose. Yeah.
So if you were a bigger fan of the characters, if you enjoyed these people more, would you be more willing to give the movie like, all right, it's fucking fun,
whatever? I'm totally willing to give it it's fucking fun. It's just that, again, it's just going to be, you know, by this point, the movie's kind of showing me, like, look, these people are just going to be arbitrarily pointing guns at each other, and, you know, but, you know, in the end, they're going to get together. If the movie had, like, pulled any surprise at the end where somebody actually gets killed or turns into a zombie, I would have been totally down. Like, okay, you had me going. I thought you weren't going to have the guts to actually do a story that would be, you know, shocking to me. But it's just going to be this for, you know, until they decide to stop making it and roll some credits and we can stop watching.
Well, it was going
to
be a television show.
It's an interesting interplay here where Emma Stone says that Columbus, Ohio is burned to the ground. And in any other context, you would assume that Emma Stone is lying because she's just a huge bitch in this movie. And she'd just be like, no, we can't go where you want to go because I hear it sucks. And then Woody Harrelson's like, hey, he's from there. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And that makes it real. Like, he has to have done that, or you would have just been like, fuck that girl. Go to Columbus anyway. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. As of now, what does, what's his name? Columbus. What does Columbus want? What is his goal? What's he going to do now?
Which one is that?
He doesn't know.
Eisenberg.
This is the,
Well, I guess
this is the closest to the Dark Night of the Soul moment for Columbus.
Well, yeah,
Columbus,
I know, but
as we get.
I'm not,
I don't think this movie's three quarters over yet.
No.
I pray to God, but it's not, is it?
No, it's a little less than half.
Because we still have the Bill Murray.
What?
Yeah.
Ultimately,
non sequitur to get to.
Ultimately, Tallahassee wants blank. Twinkies.
Twinkies.
Ultimately, Columbus wants
Twinkies
to go to home.
Well, he wants Twinkies. He wants Twinkies, and he wants to make the world pay that he lost his son. So he wants to kill all the zombies he can and eat as many Twinkies as he can before he goes goes down. He wants to go down.
Go to the Playboy Mansion and just just enjoy enjoy the world as best he can.
And homegirls want to go to Disneyland.
Well, they want to go to – okay, now that's not a willing suspension of disbelief. Like, the thing is we're, I guess, nerdier guys. We've all considered what would you do in a zombie attack at least once.
Walmart.
Amusement park, not high on the list.
Yeah,
and when like, let's go there, the fact that the whole car is like, well, are you sure it has no zombies in it?
Yeah.
And then they're like, yeah. I'm like, all right then.
I really don't think they're going to be open. So what is the point?
And
of
on
going
top of
to
that,
Disneyland?
There's no security. Nothing makes sense. There's very little supplies. Where are we going to find weapons there?
I'm surprised.
Disneyland is kind of a fucking fortress.
I'm surprised that Tallahassee.
Place that probably won't have a lot of weapons is Disneyland.
I am surprised that Tallahassee went along with it because just earlier he said what I thought was a great line. He was like, he's like, oh, we're both heading east. He's like, oh, I bet, you've heard there's no zombies out east. He's like, yeah. Or he's like, where are you coming from? He's like, oh, I'm coming from the west. And you heard there's no zombies out east? Yeah. Yeah. Out east, we hear there's no zombies out west. He's like, I'm like, that's perfect. That's a great
point.
I would
just like for someone to go, listen, did you see Waterworld?
Yeah. Okay. But instead, he just kind of goes with it because he's like, fuck it. I got nothing else to do. There's as likely to be Twinkies there as anywhere else, I guess. Their whole thing is they're trying to get there because they've heard that that's like somehow they've made this amusement park into a fortress against zombies, and that's like a refugee camp now.
Heard from whom is a question that's never dealt with. But also, I think the two of them are just sort of going through the motions because they're con artists and that was where they were going to begin with. And the whole thing is, Emma Stone wants to get her younger sister to like have, to have a moment of fun in this horrible universe. But
this could have been really funny if this was like if this were National Lampoon's Vacation in a zombie world where the guy is just
Clark Griswold just wants the family to have a moment.
He's just so fucking obsessed with it. But he wants the family to have a moment, especially now that the apocalypse is coming. This is our last chance to have a family moment. Our last chance to have a decent moment.
Come on, guys.
That kind of insane thing. I think I could have bought that. Chevy Chase is like, we're going to Wally World. Dad, we really don't want to go to Wally World. No, we're going as a family. We will do this.
We're going to I've always put it off. I said we're going to go next year. There's not going to be a next year. We're going to Wally World.
This is our moment.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys I had this I'm almost positive because there's everyone from LA goes to Vegas once a year or so. They just it's 4 hours away. We just go to Vegas sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll bet you 75% of the people that come from LA to Vegas have had the same thought I've had. They may not know that they've all had the same thought, and you might not remember it when I bring it up right now, but there is a abandoned water park in the middle of the desert on the way to Las Vegas, and you'll pass by it, and it's the fucking coolest, creepiest thing you've ever seen in your life, and I so deeply want to make a movie in this. That exit has nothing. It's farmland. And then an abandoned goddamn water park.
Is that on Zizek's Road?
It's off by Zizek's Road. It's about 20 exits before
Zizek's.
Oh, that's
not even that far from here then, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 2.5 hours into the desert.
Let's go. Let's totally go
right now. Dude, and it's so crazy. It's so weird. You'll be driving, and then all of a sudden, it's the world's shittiest water park, and it's abandoned. No gates, no anything. Yeah, just walk up the slide. Fuck it. And it's falling apart. It's got like a little cafeteria area that's fallen in on itself. It's so – I want to have like a wicked paintball game there or something. Someone has to use it in a thing because it's just sitting there being completely, completely disturbing.
I like this little moment. I wish there had been more of a setup that this was a payoff for, that everyone, at least – Columbus or something being very like, fastidious and worried about stuff and whatnot. And this could be like a moment for him to go, oh, no one is going to care or be mad if I destroy everything. And he finally, this is like his cut loose moment, but instead they just kind of destroy stuff and it's cathartic and it's cool, to watch. Cause you're like, I would totally do that if I were in the middle of a zombie apocalypse. But it's not like it's going anywhere.
I think about how dangerous this and how much expensive it was.
Oh,
I feel bad for the PAs who had to clean up. And,
and they had to have set all this up to do like 16, 17 times each for takes. and coverage.
Yeah. Oh, not, no, no, for that,
not.
No. For that, there's just a lot of cameras rolling, and they're like, we'll get what we get and cut it together. It's a montage.
I have to say, though, I was impressed by, I guess I was impressed by more than anything else, their budget, because I said this, because the art direction is so authentic that they just got somebody's cheese ball store by the freeway because those places exist. And I was like, I guess they built that to destroy.
Well, it's interesting because I've been to so many of those stores. They're all over the place, and man, I hate them. And I probably would go and destroy one.
Right.
You know how Will Smith always gets Jaden Smith, or at least when he was growing up, these insane birthday parties, like Richie Rich style fucking crazy birthday parties.
I did not know that, but now I do.
If my dad was Will Smith, I would be like, Dad, I want you to build me a gas station that I can just break with basketball. I don't want a car. I don't want anything. Just make me. Yeah. A thing, like a room, a store of some sort that I can just start ripping to shreds.
I don't want a birthday for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then give me that.
Give me a truck stop that I can break with.
Yeah. It's got to be a truck stop, and it has to have a tourist trap in it. It has to have dinosaur land in
exactly.
the back.
Exactly. Something really awful. And then I want a gasoline truck and a pickaxe and a lighter.
Dad, can you go to Lowe's and get a few of those loner dudes that just sit outside waiting for someone to buy? And can we dress them up like zombies? And can I kill them?
Yeah. Is that your name for day laborers? Loner dudes?
Loner dudes.
Loner dudes.
By the way,
he doesn't like saying Mexican.
This bridge must be so easy to get permits for because every movie is always the crane up as someone is driving on.
Want to know what I think? I think it's because it's so picturesque.
All these
bridges that go over the LA River out in the East LA, they're all over Transformers. We're driving over where they're hanging out under the bridge in Transformers.
Last Action Hero did a big major action
and
scene.
And Terminator 3 as they were driving into the city.
And the core crashed a shuttle right here?
It's because it's very big, it is picturesque, and it's not particularly
busy.
Can
you actually drive over it as a civilian, or is that a locked off for perpetual
filming? No, it's
filming
a real
traffic.
There's a few of those very big, pretty bridges. But I think they're all just roads.
I think
one of them is Third Street.
I think LA should do that. LA should just if we want to bring back filming here, we should just commit to some parts of the city are just a backlot. Some parts of the city are now you only film there. No one goes to work there. You move your offices and stuff. But but you're going to be in a movie.
Little insider action here with the Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah, Charlie Chaplin. And 2012 is playing. I think that's great.
Now they added.
What do you think of that, Michael?
Well,
2012 will be playing for eternity.
They clearly tracked it in right before release. When they were filming it, there wasn't a 2012 sign there, and you can sort of see it. That's a comp.
That's fair enough.
Good call. Although I don't appreciate the Oscars, let alone a fucking movie shutting down Hollywood Boulevard.
Dude,
we drive on Hollywood
happens
Boulevard
all the time.
Yeah, movies keep doing that all the
time. Crappier movies,
such as Hancock.
Wait till you see Lethal Weapon. See what they did in Lethal Weapon on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, I was really impressed by that. I was like, wow,
they flipped a bus in Lethal Weapon.
So were you guys spoiled on the cameo?
I was.
Oz.
I was actually spoiled well in advance because it was...
It was Swayze in the script.
Well, it was Swayze in the script, and he was actually a zombie. It wasn't a gag. But
that
would have
been
great.
Did they call him Crazy Swayze?
I don't think so. But
no
they did
Swayze? No Wayze? I'm surprised they even went there.
They did do a...
Roadhouse.
They did do a ghost thing where Zombie Swayze, he's got the Potter's wheel and someone can't fucking resist and starts doing the thing. And then Zombie Swayze comes up from behind and puts his hands on the thing because he remembers or whatever. But then he got cancer and everyone was like, oh, that'd be too morbid.
I prefer to be a zombie than
perfect.
Die of cancer.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that. He's not a zombie. He just has pancreatic cancer. Yeah.
But
see that now, I would love this movie if they'd done that. I would totally love this movie.
But he, so instead it was Bill Murray, and I found out about it actually well before the movie shot because it wasn't a secret that he'd been cast, and there were a bunch of people being like, "Oh, he's getting back into genre pictures. Maybe now he's going to do Ghostbusters 3." So of course I was seeing all these stories. And then they make all these Ghostbusters references.
Because you have the ear to the ground on the Ghostbusters
exactly.
knowledge.
Exactly. So
nothing happens in this town that I don't know about.
Ernie Hudson sleeping on a couch somewhere, P.S.
I don't know.
Seriously, the other day I was hanging out with Dorkman, and he's like, Dan Aykroyd just farted.
I will tell you this.
Somewhere.
Ernie Hudson managed to sneak up on me in Dragon Ball. I was like, what are you doing here? Where did you come from?
Winston? Winston.
It'd be great if they
I've been in houses
here,
like this.
It'd be a totally different movie.
They are horrifying.
Not in L.A., but I've been in a movie. Oh, this part actually made me, laugh out loud.
I was going to say,
like,
plots?
No, just right here. This is so exciting. You're about to learn who you're going to call. I was like, that's hysterical. That is a funny line.
She's like,
you're about to learn who you're going to call?
Yeah. And I almost know that feeling because I'm like, it's very rare to find someone who hasn't seen Ghostbusters, but when I do, I'm like, we have to stop everything we're doing right now. You're on dialysis? I don't care. We're going to go watch Ghostbusters,
and then we'll
come back.
Before they killed Osama bin Laden, Darkman was like, wait.
I don't think he's seen Ghostbusters.
Give me 2 hours. Okay, wasn't that cute? All right, go.
I did see on Twitter, by the way, with Osama bin Laden, someone was like, those Ghostbusters better step up their game now that Osama's dead.
Oh, that's true. Ghost Osama.
I think he was hard to catch before.
Yeah. That's actually okay. See, we've come up with two great
pitches. Yeah, there's another
two great pitches that have come up as a result of watching this movie.
Ghostbusters 3, Osama bin Laden. It writes itself right there.
Why the hair?
That's a good question, but at the same time, I'm like, that strikes me as something Bill Murray would do just for his own amusement. He's like, I'm going to pretend to be a zombie. As long as I'm playing dress up, I might as well put on a Van Halen wig.
Sure.
Or maybe he didn't want the zombies asking for his autograph. He didn't want to be recognized.
Maybe so.
He goes out in like a hoodie and sunglasses.
I wonder if Bill Murray is really this cool. If you break into his house, if he's more like, can I get you something? Let me show you around.
He seems. The reports are that he is.
I've seen things where he'll go to like, he went to, what was it?
The karaoke
like,
thing.
He went to like Tribeca and then he served drinks at the bar.
Right.
Like they said, he's like, can I stand back there? And then everyone ordered whatever they would order and he was just beer.
Reports are literally that Bill Murray will, this should be like a.
Like Bill Murray will come to your birthday party.
Yeah. Well, it's like the old school memes like Drillbird will kill your family or whatever. Bill Murray will crash your party.
Yeah.
If you have a party in Bill Murray's earshot, he will just show up and be there.
There's an extensive thing I saw where someone was at a karaoke bar, and he ended up hooking up somehow with Bill Murray's group, and he has endless pictures of him singing karaoke with Bill Murray.
That may or may not have been the writer and creator of Dr. McNinja, the online webcomic.
Okay.
That happened to him. I'm saying may or may not have been him because it may just be another guy.
He may do it every Friday, for all we know. We have no idea.
Yeah, but I know the Dr. McNinja guy had a whole bunch of things. By the way, if you haven't read Dr. McNinja, drmcninja.com is hysterical.
Good title.
And you should start from the beginning.
That is if you haven't already finished XKCD.
Yes, that's true. If you read all of those, then you can move on.
There's a store in I love the Valley so much, the ever-loving Valley. There's a store just down the street from here that sells wardrobe. It sells when the movie is done, the movie crew offloads these clothes to a particular store. A
couple of those places.
And after this movie came out, and you'll go in, and it's just, you know, racks of clothing. It looks more like Goodwill than Target. But there's like just a rack of clothing here, a rack of clothing there, and on each rack it says Kick-Ass or,
ooh,
you know, whatever. And I went in there one time looking for we were having an Indiana Jones party. I was looking for a cool hat. Because I'd never been to that store, I just knew it was a clothing store. And I'm looking at this rack of clothes that says Zombieland on it. I'm like, the fuck? Why does it say Zombieland? He's like, because these were all in Zombieland.
Yeah.
And then I looked dumb.
I love that Bill Murray lets the other guy play Peter Venkman. I love that little touch to the scene.
Yeah. And see, the Twinkie thing brings it all together. Suddenly it's a little Twinkie thing.
Which is interesting because in the script, he totally was obsessed with Twinkies, but Bill Murray wasn't in it. So they were just like, oh my God, we can do...
Yeah.
And it was Columbia. They're like, we can do Ghostbusters.
We can totally do it.
And there's a Twinkie in it. Yeah. My God.
Yeah. Don't you see?
This was meant. This was meant to be.
It's faded.
Yeah. Green light.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, why is her name... This is basic plot information that
I know. That's...
Why is her name Little Rock and the other one's name is whatever
Wichita,
the fuck?
Wichita. They're supposed to be related.
Yeah.
Yeah,
They're supposed to have grown up in the same home.
Yeah.
Well, maybe their family...
See, now, this is
maybe it's a military family.
Did we not all see this coming when this...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's like, this was a bad plan.
Well, that's why this isn't a moment where you can feel sad. You're like, no, he totally had this coming, and I don't hate... Columbus for doing this because he's totally in the right in making this call. And so it winds up being a funny scene instead of like a tragic or upsetting scene.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, so the entire completely useless and pointless Bill Murray interlude is about over and we'll get to whatever this movie is going to be about from now on. It really is like 15 minutes of filler that meant nothing. I mean, you know, it's adds absolutely nothing. You know, it's...
He cracks me up. He's like picking at the wound. He's like, that's still tender.
Yeah, that's... Here comes the great line. Do you regret anything?
Garfield, maybe.
Yeah, Garfield. Which is like, okay, worth it for that line. And, you know, not unlike Scott Pilgrim, it's like every individual little scene, little moment, yeah, clever, cute, mm-hmm. fun. Stack them together, it's like, well, it's the equivalent of 15 cute YouTube videos. It doesn't yeah. have any more cohesion than that.
But supposedly, which is also not unusual for Bill Murray, most of his dialogue was improvised.
Absolutely.
Pretty much, so.
Pretty much everything you've ever seen Bill Murray in
yeah.
is improvised. Everything in Tootsie is improvised, mm-hmm. which is amazing because there's some great lines in that. Certainly Ghostbusters.
That's why everyone wants to know what he said at the end of Lost in Translation, because it was probably hilarious. Mm.
I like her bit here where she's like, even now he's being funny. I can't help it.
This, by the way, is the problem with teeth whitening in actors. Is she's got like crazy white teeth in that scene. Uh-huh. And you're like, what? Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I lost it.
No human has teeth like that.
Not my favorite body dumping joke ever. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang still wins.
Oh, yeah.
Where they drop the body off the thing into the dumpster, but it's just slight. It's not off, yeah. but it's slightly off, and the body just lands on the side of the dumpster. Yeah. Just kind of goes boom. Oh, that's so fucking funny.
Oh, that's well, it's
funny from the moment it goes sailing over the edge of the roof. It's like, oh, God, no.
It's going to half miss, and he just hits it at hip level. Just yeah. boom.
Oh.
But. I do kind of, yeah, that is the best one. But that one is still funny because they were hanging out with him and they totally feel bad, but they're like, they're already in this world where they're like, well, you know, one way or another he was going to be dead. We just got to move on with our lives.
Yeah. So this movie, like a lot of movies, zombie movies, you know, is...
No Facebook status updates. That one has double meaning
yes.
now.
Yeah.
Yay! Is the... The idea
no,
of,
they went back and tracked it in for the DVD.
Yeah,
anyway,
really, yeah. The idea of there, you know, there are millions and millions of people in Los Angeles, and yet there are not millions of bodies everywhere. Yeah. It's like, you know, again, it's an expense issue and it's a complication issue and so on. But
well, and the fact that
the world is strangely deserted. It's like everyone's yeah. turned into a zombie, and either is a zombie or got eaten, and yet the world seems mostly just empty. And that's just a trope. But the idea of Los Angeles presumably has a lot of zombies in it, and here they are sitting in a mansion with every light lit up, and you know, playing Parcheesi.
Yeah, when they were driving
how
through
the lights work.
When they were driving down Hollywood Boulevard, I was like, "There's more people than that yeah. when they're
there's
alive.
More
there's,
than yeah, Charlie Chaplin and a chick.
Yeah.
In Hollywood, I think
we would have seen skinny Superman, and we'd have seen all that other stuff,
and fat Wonder Woman, the whole set.
Yeah,
and crazy George Clooney Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Those all would have been great. A lot of rights issues to do that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That guy has everything. You can't afford to put crazy George Clooney Batman in anything. George Lucas owns all of him.
Also, if anyone has ever driven in L.A., there's more cars wandering around on the streets in L.A. than there are on the highways.
Yeah, there'd be no
movie.
Open. Yeah. There'd be no open roads.
Yeah, there's never traffic. I mean, that was a, you know, another Walking Dead quibble I had is, you know, the road into, you know, out of Georgia, Atlanta is blocked and the road in is completely empty. It's like, I think, well, first of all, in an emergency, they open both lanes to let people go the direction they all want to go in. But the fact that the one lane is completely empty, it's like, no, I think there would be cars there as well.
Some. At least yeah. one or two.
A little something going on.
Two or three
there.
Who are like, wait, we forgot something.
Don't drive on the shoulder in an apocalypse, okay? Yeah. It's there for emergencies only.
That's right. Well, maybe one will come up.
They did. They handled that best in Lethal Weapon, where the car chase goes on the freeway, and it's like, Err! Oh, fuck. And
yeah.
they jump out of
the
cars
wrong way on
running.
The freeway. Yeah.
yeah.
Goes down an on-ramp.
There should be more. There should be a drug reference here. I feel like they should have raided Bill Murray's medicine cabinet.
Well, there was
this is officially where I haven't seen the movie, so I may
okay.
get quiet.
I was gonna say that it looked like to be my guess is another one of Woody Harrelson's requirements was, and we're all gonna smoke dope out of a giant hookah in a scene that's required. Okay, yeah. done. Check. You got it
with Bill Murray. Well,
with Bill Murray.
I feel like all of his dialogue about loving Bill Murray that was probably genuine. That wasn't in
yeah.
character. That was just Woody Harrelson.
See, they probably said, okay, now this guy's gonna come in and. We're gonna improvise this scene. We're totally gonna improvise this scene.
Or P.S.
And he doesn't even
cameras,
know it's Bill Murray. That would
be
great.
The cameras were just rolling because they were getting ready for a scene next to his already lit hookah, and it just sort of decided to make it into the movie.
Yeah, they're lucky that he didn't actually shoot Bill Murray for real. Like, put an axe through him.
Well, famously, after this movie, when Woody Harrelson was coming back to L.A., he beat up a paparazzi because he was still in character and thought the paparazzi was a zombie.
Yeah, that's. That's
had he bitten him, he would have thought he was a Twinkie.
I cannot believe that that went like that's not one of those things that we're like. And then later on, he was arrested because that's bullshit. It just sort of seems like we accepted that.
That's a real thing.
Yeah, like we accepted. We were just like, okay.
Yeah, you know, all right, sure, whatever. Yeah.
It seems like it'd be hard for him to come back out of
when
it.
When Jeff Bridges asks for a White Russian, you give him a White Russian because you know, and when Woody Harrelson beats up a pot, you know.
Dude, there's a beverage here. So this is where, well, you know, Dorkman, I don't want to tell you how to feel about it because you haven't seen it, spoiler, but this is where I just was like, okay, what is this movie even about anymore? It's like, what the hell's happening? It's like, now they're just, the movie is like slowing down. The closer we get to the end, the more the movie slows down.
Well, this is definitely where I feel like they forgot how they wanted to end the film. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe we got Bill Murray. That was awesome. Wait, what's the end of the movie? And then like the whole pretense of
Shit, don't we get to stop there? Fuck.
Yeah.
The whole pretense of her now going, them going off to the amusement park after this always seems a little bit sort of tacked on.
Yeah, at like, this point, it
why
seems
would
like,
they leave paradise?
Yeah, it seems like stay here, just chill.
Yeah,
especially because no zombies apparently know where Bill Murray lives.
Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe see if you can catch a bird, tie a note to it. See if anyone is at the Disneyland.
Yeah. Well, as you said, the original ending of the script as written took place at a 7-Eleven where they were, I presume, defending the Twinkies, which makes sense. You know, God damn it, we've got these Twinkies, we're going to hold it. And the whole convenience store kind of motif in the movie, it all makes perfect sense. And somebody somewhere, clearly in the development process, no, we need a bigger, more rousing ending. It's like, you know, what? If, oh, they
and
want
he's
to...
like, well, I just did Adventureland and they're about to strike that set. Perfect. Yeah, we'll blow it up on screen.
Just fantastic.
In fact, Adventureland is ostensibly the same movie, but without zombies.
Well, some of those characters in Adventureland, if you've seen it, which Kristen Stewart, for example, I think would qualify. But Adventureland is also a very worthwhile movie, in fact. It's a great movie.
I have this thing, and I'm very unpopular amongst my acting cohorts in this, but I have this thing where I feel like movies don't go far enough when they could a lot of times nowadays because we're still sort of like in this 80s, 90s morality mindset. Like, I always felt this scene should have gone a whole lot farther. Like, I feel like this should have gotten
just bang hardcore. Fuck it. Rip it off.
Hard
just,
R.
I just want to see it on the screen. Give me the money shot.
Don't get me wrong. The last person I want to see involved in a sex scene is Emma Stone. First, she'd be like, whatever.
Oh, I can think of a lot of people lower on the list than that, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, or Eisenberg. But
Eisenberg
would be fucking the shit out of her, and she'd be like, I'm over it. Okay.
Oh.
Just to see if her expression would change, it'd be worth a try.
But I do think that like this sort of like light romanticism is the kind of stuff that we would have bought in the 80s and 90s. I feel like we all know as human beings gutturally if there were two people of different genders finally in the same room after all this amount of time, they would have been running like wildcats in this scene.
And they've had wine. I mean, like they needed that. Yeah. Like they needed wine and candles to get this on. You know, I'm just not feeling it. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter at this point.
Yeah, it's of course. At this
Who
point,
you gonna call?
But good night, everybody. Let's pretend the movie ended right there.
It's like wondering if they should kiss or not. You may never find another person with the opposite set of genitalia in your entire life at this point.
Yeah.
Enter Woody Harrelson.
It's not down to the point of because really what that hesitation comes down to in the real world is, ooh, someone better might come along tomorrow. I don't know if I want to commit to this.
This is the last.
Yeah,
man
this
on
is
Earth.
The last
there
one. You so you're gonna be like, nah, that's the only face I'm gonna
who
mash
will,
it with.
Who
probably.
Will pass on my jeans? This dude. That's what I got. That's
and,
what I'll slip.
Well, she has this guy or Woody Harrelson, which is all the more reason that he should have been capitalizing on this morning. And said, no, do not help move a couch.
Yeah.
I'm planting a flag here, or otherwise it's gonna be Woody Harrelson
dude.
City, USA.
Everyone on the planet's going to be looking like Woody Harrelson, and I am not living in a world like that. Everyone is 6 years old and stoned.
Yep.
He said cock.
Yep.
He did. Anyway. He totally said it.
I do think that you're a giant cock-blocking robot developed in a secret lab is probably one of the better lines
Good
in
line.
Any movie.
Good line.
And I wasn't expecting the fucking. He's like, you're like a secret giant cock-walking robot fucking government lab walks away.
He busts that out twice, and both times it's effective because you're like, wow, he must be really upset because you can tell he's you know the good boy. Otherwise,
is there profanity in Social Network? Does anyone say fucking?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I don't remember fuckings.
A plenty, I believe.
There's a convention in these films
giving us the
where
finger in the fucking crimson.
Right. Okay.
where for some reason people are so afraid of intimacy or social interaction or like social issues that they essentially run away from like stable situations. I don't care how scary it was that she just kissed him. Those are two guys who can handle guns.
Yeah.
Why in the world would you drive away from like just you and me, sis? Yeah. It's just you and me. Like, no, that's a way to die.
I'm a little afraid of commitment to the human race.
Yeah. That is a girl with some galactic intimacy issues.
Have you met chicks? No, okay, I was kidding. It was a joke.
What does the chat room think about that statement?
Well, most of them are guys, especially now.
Yeah, she's talking about some intimacy issues. I'd rather take my chance in the zombie apocalypse than spend the night with you.
Yep.
That's rough for both parties when it comes to that, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I'll be, since we don't have any females on here, I'm like, I think Jesse Eisenberg's cute. I'd stay there. I'd go with him over the zombies.
Yeah,
would you go with him over Woody Harrelson?
Yeah, because Woody Harrelson scares me. Woody Harrelson would make me go vegan for like a year before he'd touch me and like all this. So,
so you had to be cleansed.
It's too much commitment for Woody Harrelson,
oh-ho!
I think.
How the tables have turned.
Oh. Yeah. Now who's afraid of intimacy?
Yeah, like, I'm not afraid of it. It would just be so much effort to get there.
You just not want to do the work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair.
The power in Los Angeles is provided by essentially a giant dam that needs constant maintenance or it will break down.
Chinatown?
Yet they can put together this entire, like, everything's fine. Yeah.
Not to mention the sense of kind of a red flag, don't you think?
Yeah.
If there are any zombies left.
So wait,
why don't you just
go to the place with the light and sound?
Yeah.
Here's, well, you can ring a bell and get them to run out of restaurants and now.
Oh, and we didn't notice that they were there the whole time. Yeah. Really, if you wanted to do this, you know, it's like you know, the people in the Midwest who like can't afford to take their kids to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. So they're like, hey, you know, they take them to the swing set at the park, but they put confetti on it or whatever to make it into an amusement park.
Is that a thing?
I don't know. But
tie a balloon to it.
Yeah, exactly. But so it's like, instead of doing this whole amusement park thing, if you really wanted to have this effect, just walk out in the middle of the street with an air horn. And then like, run, sis! You know, that's what you're
this
doing.
This is here. Also a source of adrenaline, not just the pirate ship.
Yeah, exactly. And not to mention, it's just like, logic completely breaks down in the sense of, but we got to have a bigger ending. Because, like, how do you get yourself on an amusement park ride?
Right.
And then how do you get off of it?
Right. Well, they do. Yeah. I mean, I've worked in an amusement park. I've actually operated that ride.
Have you actually soloed on it?
No, there's a go button. There's no off button. It ends on its own. There's, like, a continue button you can hold down.
But would you, if you were on it by yourself and you hit go and then jumped on the ship, would you have time to get onto the ship?
No. Actually, that's not true. It just kind of slide back and forth. We really need
it would be moving, but it'd be kind of slowly rocking at that point, right?
But then you would get on it, and by the time you could get under like the support bar, you would already have flown off to your doom.
Especially right at the end there. In the middle, that's more plausible. Yeah. But
on the subject of, I'm sorry, Trey, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, and at which point it's like these two girls are supposed to. We're supposed to have bought them as, you know, by living by their wits and not, you know, being that they're among the few humans left. Presumably in the entire continental United States.
But they're just blithering retards
But they thought this was a good idea.
Right.
This was their plan. You know, that this, because they wanted to go to
now, why did they jump out of the car?
And then to jump out of this. And again, it's like, this is where I'm like, this is where the movie doesn't even remember what movie it was 20 minutes ago. It's like, nothing
there
makes.
There was three zombies in the car. Let's jump out of the only secure thing we have.
Nothing makes any sense in this ending. Nothing anyone does. None of the characters are true to what they have been up to this point.
Yep.
It's like it's just this it's very tacked on thing.
I like this movie. It's funny. It's not trying very hard.
It's like, here's a grand plan. We're going to get in this thing, which is going to make us as vulnerable as we could possibly be.
Yeah. I've got an idea. Let's go stand in a corner.
And scream and shine a flashlight on ourselves.
Now on the subject
of ourselves with barbecue sauce.
On the subject of
of cheap approximations of theme park experiences. I loved Disneyland growing up, and we would go every week, and it was a big part of my life, and I loved going to Disneyland. And my mom told me a couple years ago that those first 8 years I just took on the monorail. It was $2. We went around Disneyland and you loved it, and we went home. What?
You had that.
Are you telling me I invented 8 years of thinking I was going to Disneyland?
You had that.
You, what's wrong with you?
You had the Tiny Toons movie experience.
That's awesome.
Yes, I did.
I went to
Happy Go Lucky World. What was the
Happy Go Land?
Happy Go Land. Anyway, yeah, totally. God. And mom,
I can't believe that just came to me right then. Wow.
Happy Go Pukey.
Maybe it was Happy Go World. Where all your dreams come.
Happy World Land.
There it is.
Happy Go Pukey was the ride.
Okay.
Why do we know this?
I don't know, but you're right.
I don't know.
Where all your dreams come true. Anyway.
So another thing I want to point out is that Pacific Playland or whatever it is clearly on the water in this case. Although this is shot somewhere in Cleveland or whatever. But like the that we decided how these zombies clearly can't swim. So the real answer would have been, is there anything we can get onto that's like a boat near?
Yeah.
Again, you turn it on, it's gone. It just started going. It doesn't just wait long enough for you to get in.
Those things launch. They just zap, you know.
Yeah, and it waits, by the way, for you to put the secures down before you can even start it, because then you could just sort of like kill a bunch of kids by pressing the go button.
You could get really unhinged one day and go, everyone can get on, but don't put your boat. There they go. It's raining, babies.
I actually worked on a pre-safety features roller coaster, and you had to like operate a series of switches to like slow it down to avoid death.
It didn't have brakes on the track.
No, it did, but you had to manually operate air brakes.
Oh,
it wasn't
my god!
Automatic.
Oh my god!
Fantastic.
And I ran it for an entire year, and when the
did you ever go to work drunk?
All the time. The month after I was on the ride for the first time, somebody else operating it gave a bunch of whiplash.
Whoa. Like you do. Well, and I've programmed a lot of flight simulators, and you have to, when you program them all, the safeties are disconnected, and I would often do it by myself in the middle of the night, and, you know, I'd fire the thing up and then run and leap onto it as it was, you know, starting to move, and but we had a motion simulator, you have this big grid.
You couldn't set in a 5-second delay or anything?
Well, sometimes you could, and sometimes I was bored and I would do it on purpose.
Okay.
There was a woman I worked with at Universal Florida who, ever since then, she's always referred to me as the motion-based cowboy, because she would come in and sometimes I'd be bored and I would be on the ride and I would be doing it standing up, because it was like surfing. I'm surfing the motion base, so I'd be standing and trying to like just maintain my feet through the whole program. Woohoo! Or I'd sit on the back corner and like literally like go yeehaw, like Slim Pickens riding the bomb. You know, it's do things to keep you going. But sometimes the thing would, you know, have a wild hair and go completely bananas. And, you know, there was one time it went so crazy that I couldn't get to the e-stop. It just kept thrashing me.
But when Smash Factory breaks down, the ride platform doesn't eat. Yeah, it did.
Yeah, it totally did. It did. Yeah.
Was it Smash Factory or Crash Factory?
Smash Factory was the name of one of the shows I did. One of the great motion based rides. But
I think it's the only one that you did that I've been on, and I didn't know you worked on it until years after I was on it.
Yeah.
I wish you had done Star Tours.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
And you know, I tried to get on the new one, but it didn't work out. So anyway, this movie's happening, and some shit's going on. What's happening?
They've come to save the women.
Now he's spending time killing zombies.
Now he's ready
like,
as
double tapping. But that, mind you, every second they waste, the two girls are getting closer to doom.
And they just spent $40,000 doing another one of those credits. We got it. We get it. We totally get it. You know, I mean, to me, that's just like
$40,000. I've been giving that shit away.
Yeah, exactly.
My God,
hanging a lantern on. You know, the joke. Like, remember, devil. See, okay, just in case you didn't get that he was doing a double tap, we'll literally write it on the screen for you. And we'll do it in the most expensive possible way because our budget is way too high. We were going to be in a convenience store, and now we're shooting this whole thing with thousands and thousands of extras in the convenience because for some reason, we have lots of money, and I don't know what to do with it, so we're going to just waste it on things.
Yes, how do they find the car? How does he, like, in trying to find them, find the
he
car?
He finds the car before them.
Yeah. Like, the car was like, come get me.
I'm here, mostly submerged in the water, in the darkness.
Why am I not sinking? Nobody knows.
The other car.
There we go. He's figured out the air horn.
And then the zombie cars start coming, like, oh, no.
Yeah.
That's the new slogan for Tallahassee, by the way. Come get a piece of Tallahassee.
It's nice this time of year. And then
it should
be. The Woody Harrelson thing,
I'd go.
When I was watching this, like, okay, so this is going to be the payoff for him. It's not really much of a payoff.
No.
I'm going to lock myself in a thing, and I'm going to shoot them all until they're all dead. And it's like, that wasn't particularly threatening or heroic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
It's fun when I do that in Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if we're coming across as being too hard on it. I mean, after all, it is a comedy.
What?
So?
What did you say?
People in the chat room think we're being mean to it just because it's a.
I think we're being pretty
not
nice.
How many times have we said a comedy doesn't get to be called a good movie just because it had funny stuff in it? We called a good comedy has a story and characters and a plot and a payoff, and this movie has mostly none of those things.
This movie is a fun ride, but that doesn't mean it's good. It's in the same way that, like, you know, that you can go see an interesting play, but it doesn't make it Shakespeare.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm not opposed to going and spending money to see a movie like this. I mean, I wouldn't see it twice, but I definitely enjoyed seeing it in theaters. Yeah. This seems unnecessary.
That's why, yeah. Well, although fun in its way. It's like one of the more clever ideas. It's like, oh, we're going to the haunted house. There'll be zombies. It's brilliant. It's like, that's better than this all this roller coaster.
Although
bullshit.
apparently the haunted house was like a murder death trap even before the zombies came about, because it's fucking... It's totally prepared to kill patrons of the of the haunted house.
It's one of the more dangerous haunted houses that's ever been created. But it's my analogy is, yeah, it's a bunch of cute scenes that happen for about 90 minutes, and it's like as if they made 10 fun YouTube sketches featuring the same cast.
And by the way,
there's not a movie yet here.
Yeah. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just sit here and be like, yeah, that's good?
Yeah,
one's good too.
He's riding they're shooting all the zombies from all the cool things.
That's a pretty cool scene.
It makes no sense, but it's visually stimulating.
Yeah. Like, we're supposed to are we supposed to critique this, or are we just supposed to narrate? Like, what do you want?
And now he's on a Mad Mouse, and it's awesome. Remember the Mad Mouse? Mad Mouse is awesome. Mouse is awesome. It's an awesome ride.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If this movie was awesome, we'd be talking about its problems as well, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But then
if it had them, yes.
If it had any. You know, we could quibble and things like that. But this is just kind of like, yeah, okay. And, you know, we kind of lost the plot. Like, yeah, remember we're supposed to rescue the girls?
Yeah, why are you in here now?
We're supposed to rescue the girls who are tough survivors who have willingly placed themselves in a trap situation where zombies can eat them.
What saith the chat room now?
Yes. Yeah. It's like... Well, when people stop...
Face!
Yeah. When we're supposed to admire characters for their, you know, pluck and cleverness, and then they act completely in a way that no sensible human would ever act.
Which is unfortunately very much a trope of horror movies. Yeah. But you would think that...
In the end, it falls prey to the worst tropes.
They'd
have
taken some kind of bludgeon. You know, they got guns and they're running out of ammo. It's like they say, you know, a blade doesn't need reloading. It needs sharpening occasionally, but it doesn't need reloading.
Yeah. And a blunt instrument doesn't even need that. You just hope it doesn't break.
Yeah.
I'm just glad he didn't throw the stuffed animals.
I'm pretty sure they could have broken through, well, that. But like the lock and stuff, I think the pressure of not, you know, caring who gets hurt, including yourself, they'd have got through that door by now.
Yeah. And, yeah, so again, it's like if he hadn't survived that, then that would have worked.
Right.
You know, the Alamo is like when they go there and all they find is the thing's completely been caved in and there's just a red smear, you know, that he accomplished the mission of I will distract them so you can save the girls. Then that would have made some sense.
But America's not willing to lose main characters like that anymore unless we had vilified him previously.
I wish they had killed Ron Weasley.
Yeah. Also, who turned this ride on?
That's been on for a little while, I guess. I guess that one's just been on. They flip those big old switches, and they're like, oh, yeah, that ride is still totally going to just go.
Yep. That ride is really dangerous.
Yeah. So they've
Deathland.
If they ever had a plan of trying to make us care about these characters, they you know, here for this supposedly, you know, big, flashy finale, they've just abdicated any sense of any kind of logic or realism just to have cool stuff. Wouldn't it be cool if they were running through a theme park with zombies?
And having, as of right now, having Woody Harrelson survive, it's like, all right, I'm not worried about anyone now. It's like he just shot a million zombies, and I'm like, oh, I hope that one doesn't get the girls.
Yeah.
In the chat room, they're saying the girls learn to trust, and he goes from being a neurotic wimp to being the hero that gets the girls.
Sure. The girls also learn to derp, apparently. Yeah.
They learn to trust because clearly they need to trust somebody because they're idiots on their own all of a sudden.
Also, I will point out here that he is not learning to be brave. He is just not running away.
Yeah, he's just not getting killed.
Yeah.
He's not any braver than he used to be. This is the closest thing they're attempting. It's like, a clown. Oh, my God. He has to fight a zombie clown. Yeah, because that's really worse than a regular zombie.
Yeah.
He has a bit of a clown phobia. Fine. Gee, I hope he's going to handle this clown zombie.
I'm sorry, the quote, well, they apparently learned to derp, is going to haunt me forever.
That's a good one.
Learn to derp.
The character arc is they go from capable young women who are
to
survivors.
Damsels in distress.
To,
oh, no,
to
help
idiot.
Me.
They've learned to derp. They've learned the power of derp.
Yeah.
If you...
They're like, well, he went and moved that couch. If I want to get laid, I've got to be retarded and he's got to be desperate.
Yeah. It's like the way to get men in the apocalypse is to be a helpless idiot. And they'll come rescue you, no matter how ridiculous it might have been.
hey, we have a moment.
Yay, now I love you.
There are no more zombies at all.
Sorry about repeatedly stealing your stuff and leaving you to die.
And by the way, this is totally not because you're the only one.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
The only universe in which those two characters would get together would be the universe in which they are the only two existing penises, vaginas, still that can be connected together in legal fashion.
She tells her name, and he never tells her back. Has anyone ever been in a relationship? What girl would allow that? Like, if she was just like,
that's
Krista.
That's how deep the derp has gone. Yeah. She's gone from a gun-toting, you know, goth, you know, modern chick to, she's actually gone all the way back to the 50s. The slingshot effect is so, she's like a 50s chick.
I don't remember who it was. I think it may have been
She's like on the cast of Mad Men all of a sudden.
I think it may have been Dane Cook, which I hate to credit him with a funny joke because
we'll be seeing
him
in the next movie we do.
Whoever it is tells the thing about girls. There's just something about that with the name. It's like something about the "I love you" word. You could say you're the most wonderful person. You make me want to live, and you inspire me to be better, and blah blah blah. And go on for like 10 minutes, and they'll be like, "And it's like you've got to say the three words, or nothing counts." And yeah, it's totally like that. It's like no. He'd stroke, you know, push her hair behind her ear and try to hug her. She's like, "Excuse me. Your turn."
I saved your life, but whatever.
Yeah, your name is now what? Yeah.
I will point out also that we are going to start a spinoff podcast called How Deep the Derp.
How derp is your love? How derp is your love? Derp
so is the chat room completely revolting at this point?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
How many we got in there?
14 at the moment, but yeah. Give it a sec.
And that's their median age, I'm guessing.
Wah, wah. Snap.
Yeah.
Not fans.
No,
huh?
I think we have mostly fans in our 30s. In their 30s, I mean.
Okay,
But I mean, their assumption is that because this movie is funny, it should get a pass.
Well, not necessarily that. Their assumption is that there are characters that change throughout the course of the movie, and it's ultimately just a survival road trip movie. I like this movie.
I would disagree with that.
I like this movie, but my feeling on that is if you're going to tell a movie, it's not like this wouldn't have happened in this zombie apocalypse. I'm sure everyone is having the same sort of, I would say meaningless, but sort of directionless, you know, cavalcade through the world. I would pick the one that something happened in to make a movie about. This movie is...
This movie feels like what it originally
Again, I like
was.
It, but it's I like it because it's funny to listen to Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson be weird characters at each other.
You know what it is? You totally feel its origin, which before it became what it did, which is a TV pilot.
Yeah,
you totally feel the okay. That was fun for an hour and a half. I'm in for a season.
And
let's see more adventures.
They're
going
to do 26 episodes to actually develop these characters into people.
Yeah.
But the other thing though is again, clearly because you have read the version of this bit before this was shot, is clearly this ending is a complete rethink. And it just doesn't match the movie that was being written and made up to that point. It's just shoddy and sloppy and not very well done.
I feel like I would have a lot
better
opinion.
It's just pretty.
Opinion,
it's got lots of flashy lights.
It's well, I think it's well put together, you know.
Yeah, it's beautifully shot and meaningless is the ending, the whole third act. So.
I mean, I think that if this movie had not included such a non sequitorial cameo and had not had this ending that was tacked on, we would think very differently of it. That said, again, I think it is a good film. And I think that not good, but like it's a tolerable film.
Yeah, I was going to wait a minute. What?
Hold on, walk it back. Hold on.
I'm not in love with it if it has Emma Stone in it. But I mean, like, I honestly think that like this film is watchable. I'd put it on and watch it casually while I was like hanging out on my couch in my house. I enjoyed seeing it in theaters, but it can't be. It's not award winning. It's not a good movie. Yeah. It doesn't get a brass ring.
This is totally the kind of movie that like. I used to go over to like my cousin's house on the weekends and stuff, and we just hang out and like watch the same silly movies over and over again. This is totally the
Spice
kind
World.
Of movie.
Yeah, me too.
This is totally the no. It was one of the ones that came up a lot was fucking Hocus Pocus, the Disney movie with Bette Midler.
There you go. Nice,
but we just put it on and just bullshit around like eat chili. I associate it with chili for some reason. I don't know. It happened a lot.
It's
but
as someone has referred to, like, you know, so much modern, you know, Hollywood-y movies.
If we were older, we would have been, like, up a smoky pot or something, but we ate chili.
Modern Hollywood movies are, okay, so here's a movie, everybody. Funny thing, funny thing, funny thing. Scary thing, funny thing, funny thing. Sex, sex, sex. Funny thing, funny thing, funny thing. Big explosion. We good? Good night. See you next week. You know, it's like there's no nothing. There's nothing there.
This
there's
is drive-in schlock, which is okay. Yeah. Which, again, there's no problem with that. It's just that if
if I got to see this at a drive-in, that'd be so great.
If it cost about 1/20th of its budget,
right,
and was made by Roger Corman, this movie would have been like, oh, okay, awesome.
The benefit of seeing it as a drive-in is that you wouldn't have seen the third act because you would have started making out with a girl you took there.
That's true.
But, I mean, I think that on some level that you can't expect us to not find flaw in a movie that is not in itself epic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It isn't about anything in particular. And, it's like I'm really curious to read the original script because it sounds to me so much better that it could have been so much more solid a movie if they had ended it the way you've described it.
It's much smaller, but it is much more solid.
But the idea of, you know, if there's Twinkies and by God, we're going to defend the Twinkies, and that works as a satirical flip of Dawn of the Dead. You know, no, this is ours and we kept it and we're going to take it. And the fact that they're going to defend a convenience store against zombies because that's where the Twinkies are feels like the ending this movie would wanted to have, you know, and have a kind of absurdist ending. But yet, at least the characters were following their path that they had started from in the whole beginning of the movie, where they don't have to be real. But you know, this ending is like completely so ridiculous, and the characters are even ridiculous in a way that they weren't ridiculous until the ending required them to be.
It is also a crying shame that the original script for this came out in a time when it's such a deep genre television show would just simply not have been anything anyone would greenlight.
Yeah.
Now I feel like post Walking Dead, post so
everyone
many other
would have wanted
genre
to make
shows,
this TV show. Everyone would buy this.
And if they hadn't sort of blown their load on the movie, then now they would have allowed us to slowly build up the characters and who are these people. But now it's too close to possibly becoming Friday the 13th, the series. And no one wants to do that sort of reverse adaptation thing. So it doesn't. I just feel like that they're this would have been a great TV show because you could have gotten in touch with the characters. They would definitely not have been able to afford Emma Stone, so she would not have been in this movie.
I can't believe. Now, I can't say that I don't understand your hatred for her because it's well documented that I will throw a shot at Kirstie Alley or Kirsten Dunst in a second. But Emma Stone is. I think she's cute. I think she's cute.
Okay, again, I mean, those of you who are watching this on the webcam can see to my credit that I have no business making fun of anyone as attractive as Emma Stone, but I do think that she's a one-note actress, and I actually have the same problem with pretty much a lot of the people that came up in, like, the super bad genre, where they found a lot of young actors who were only good at one thing. And
Jonah
like
Hill.
Yeah, Jonah Hill, for example. And I hate Jonah Hill. I don't hate him as much as Emma Stone, because I feel like Jonah Hill is at least self-effacing. Whereas Emma Stone is very much like, right? And I'm like, no, fuck you.
You know you want this.
And I'm like, seriously, I'm not going to buy the same repack. And I'm not going to buy new Coke, then original Coke, then like fucking other bullshit Coke. But like,
Emma Stone Coke. Yeah. God damn it.
But Jonah Hill is sort of like, I'm fat and a loser. Please like me. And I'm like, all right, dude, you get it. You get it.
And I'm not trying to be anything else. This is what I am. Yeah. I like
we got Trey and Sax's reads. Dorkman, what's your read on Mr. Zombieland?
I think I weighed in like it. I do think that the...
Now that you've seen it.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh. There's an ending.
Oh, they've got the little... See, they go, well, hey, when Bill Murray...
I never saw this.
You know, it's when Bill Murray, you know, it's like Bill Murray's like, okay, do your death scene. How many versions are you going to get? You're going to get as many as you have film to shoot it with.
There we go. Yeah, there we go.
So yeah, that he does the... Yeah.
Is he doing the Caddyshack?
He's doing the Caddyshack.
Nice.
Yeah. It'd be nice to think that on his actual deathbed that Bill Murray will snap into the, you know.
Yeah.
So what'd you think?
He's got that going for him.
Yeah, so I got that going for me, which is nice. I agree with what's been said. Not the Emma Stone thing, because I totally don't really get
it. I don't know enough about her to hate her.
I haven't seen enough of her to hate her. I suppose I would if
I've
saw
seen
more
her in
of her,
this, but, and that's all I know.
But other than that, it's like I said, it's a fun movie I would put on with my cousins and watch Chili, but it's not a brilliant movie that's going to like define it. It's not like Shaun of the Dead. It's not a movie that you're going to keep bringing up like Shaun of the Dead you know, shining example of whatever Shaun of the Dead is.
I shed tears in the theater when I saw Shaun of the Dead the first time over the credits because it was such a beautiful concept.
Mm. Yeah.
P.S. If you guys are watching this on DVD, which of the two will you pick? Michael Jackson's This Is It or Transylvania?
Yes. A Black Dynamite.
Black Dynamite. Dynamite Defendor. Is hysterical. Black Dynamite is one of the funniest movies I've seen.
That should have gotten more
time.
Attention. It really should.
And for my part, like I said, I this movie, I don't take it too seriously, and I enjoy it when it's on. it's not Ghostbusters. It's not Shaun of the Dead. It's not the kind of movie where you feel the arcs of everyone.
It's not
you see it. You see that things are changing, but you don't. I don't know. Like I said, when we started this, I said, I like this movie, but I feel like there's something off about it.
It's not a movie you're going to go after. You know, well, if it's on, you'll watch it, but it's not, you're going to be like, oh, we should watch Zombieland. It's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I would put this on the shelf next to Star Trek, where it's something I'll put on and watch it, and I just kind of go, yeah, right, cool, yeah, so yeah,
every once in a while, you just want to have the cotton candy, and, you know, go ahead. But, you know, anyway, it's not a meal.
Yeah, well, I mean, this movie is to Shaun of the Dead as Star Trek is to Star Trek, with different dates.
Which depends on which Star Trek you're talking about, where that analogy holds up. And my final argument with this movie is that...
Be careful. Brian Finnifer will appear and destroy
us. Somewhere in Nicaragua right now. Brian Finnifer is, like, feeling a disturbance in the force. But... The other thing that bugs me is, here's a weird, I'm going to draw a very strange analogy. This movie reminds me of the Book of Eli. Why? I'll tell you. Because it seems to me that in the apocalypse, about the easiest thing in the world to still find will be Twinkies. Because they are ubiquitous and they last forever. They essentially do not decay. So it's like, surely there's Twinkies available in the world.
Although he makes the joke. He's like, believe it or not. Yeah. Twinkies have an expiration date.
Yeah, it's true. But
the clock is ticking.
Yeah, but the fact that they're just not anywhere when we could literally find 18 sources of Twinkies on foot in the next 8 minutes from where we're sitting right now.
And even if they spoiled, they would still be there rotting in bags.
They would still be Twinkies. The idea that he can't even find them. It's the same argument I have with the Book of Eli, if you've seen that movie, where the movie asks us to buy that after the apocalypse, there are no Bibles anywhere. Because not just because there was an apocalypse, but because after the apocalypse, people actively sought out and destroyed all the Bibles.
People went, oops, religion ruined everything. Yeah. Let's burn. Yeah, that's the direction they'd go.
Yeah, because that's going to be your first priority.
When Pat Robertson blames hurricanes on the gays and abortions and gay abortions, whatever those are, Batman and Robin, that's what he blames
I know
Katrina
that when
on.
Civilization is completely destroyed, my goal is going to be to get rid of all the Bibles.
In a limited resource universe.
So it's a little odd to me that the whole concept.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that when we do.
Yeah,
Eli.
I can't wait to do that movie because otherwise it's kind of a fun movie. But it, anyway, the and I think at the end it might be a movie I love. I just can't tell, but it's weird. But the fact that, you know, the Twinkies, the most ubiquitous concept of probably the most ubiquitous single object in America today is the Twinkie. I just have a hard time buying that he couldn't find one.
In the chat room, Hansen points out something that I think sort of crystallizes what's going on. He says,
fuck you guys.
I never felt that strongly about Zombieland, but this commentary made me very protective of it. It's an adorable movie, and this has been Down in Front. And you can always find more episodes at downinfront.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes, get a brand new episode every single week. Twitter.com/downinfront, Facebook Down in Front Show, email us at downinfrontshow@gmail.com. Involve yourself in the conversation by joining into the forum. We have a great community of people going there and talking, have all sorts of great conversations, very little flaming. It's the weirdest forum on the internet. At the forum, we announce weekly where the live shows are going to be, and they're always at downinfront.net/live, but the forum tells you when they're happening, what the movies are. If you buy this movie from us, we get a buck. Buy one of our shirts, we get like $100, or if you don't feel like buying anything in particular, there's a big shiny PayPal button. We're not asking, we're just saying. Rate and review us on iTunes. Happy Debated, the show notes and chapter breaks on iTunes. Holden Hill Design maintained the website and also the Android app, iPhone app coming soon. Until next time, my name is Pete Christie.
Sax, never tell them how to do that.
This has been Down in Front. Thank you for listening. Good night, good night. Where can they find you, Sax?
Oh, let's see. HavingSaxOnline.com or my other podcast at TheFandomPlanet.com.
Ooh.
Cool.
So you have your own podcast.
I have three.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Nobody's perfect.
Okay.
Chat room's acting like we kicked their puppy or something.
Yeah,
although it's secretly their children, I guess. Yeah. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it's another one of those.
All these people lost their virginity to this movie.
Yeah. Another one of those equating, we didn't like it, therefore you suck if you did.
But it is true.